this afternoon to Exodus 18. Exodus 18. Their purpose. Their stop-off point, the very place they are heading, is Mount Sinai. They leave Egypt, and God has told Moses to bring the children of Israel back to the mountain of God, Horeb, as it's called many places in the Scripture, Mount Sinai, as it's called many places in the Scripture, the same mountain. And God has declared for Moses to bring the children of Israel back there. They've got that. They're here, okay? And there's no fanfare. There's no big party. There's no big, hey, look, we made it. We're here. There's none of that. They're just there. They're there. They're encamped there next to Horeb and the Sinai. They're just carrying on, doing the business God has given for them to do. So there's not a great deal of excitement necessary that we see, or again, fanfare of those awaiting them. It's just they're there. That's where God sent them, and they've made it at this point. Now God is going to remove them from Mount Sinai, and He's going to send them to Canaan. And they're going to head that direction. And as they go, there's going to be some more troubles that come their way, and more struggles and more trials that will come on them. But here they made their first major stop here at Sinai. This will be the place where we'll pretty much end the book of Exodus, because this is where God is going to give them the law and all the portions that come with the law that are going to be meted out to them here in the book of Exodus, and the reaction of the people in receiving the law. All of that is what we will look to here in the book of Exodus. But here, as they have encamped here next to the mountain of God, before Moses had left from Egypt, he had sent Zipporah, his wife, and his two sons, Gershom and Eleazar, he had sent them home. And so they were in Midian as Moses is making his trek across the desert here to come into Sinai. And so we find here in chapter 18 that Jethro finds out that Moses and children of Israel are at Sinai, or the Mount of God. And he gathers Moses' family together and brings them to him there at Sinai. And so we read here, beginning in verse 1, it says, "When Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel his people, and that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her back, and her two sons, of which the name of one was Gershom. For he said, when Moses named him, I have been an alien in a strange land. And so he named Gershom that. And the name of the other was Eleazar, for the God of my father, said he, was my help. God is my help, is what Eleazar's name means. And delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the Mount of God." And so here they are. They're encamped at Sinai. They've arrived. As far as where God had sent them, they've gotten there, and they're there. Okay? That's where they're at. They're going to be here for some time, as the Lord will operate to give them the law here and tell them how He demands of them to serve Him. And so this will be what we'll see in these next several chapters, as the Lord will account these things to Moses for the children of Israel. But here Jethro comes over. Jethro, as we were already told, he is the priest of Midian. Now Jethro is not like the other Midianites. The Midianites were known as idolaters. But we find Jethro is a different person. Now, whether he was an idolater in the past, I don't know. But I don't believe he is here. When we read of him, I don't think that's what we find here concerning him, because he is rejoicing and praising God for what God has accomplished for Moses and the children of Israel. He is celebrating and worshiping with them. Now this is, of course, Jethro had a personal connection because of his wife and his grandsons to Moses. But most of the countries that hear about God's blessing on Israel and how God has delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians and from Pharaoh and brought them into the land here, most of those countries did not want to hear that. They didn't want to know nothing about it. They didn't want Israel getting around them. They definitely didn't want Israel coming in and taking any of their stuff or any of their land. And so they did not want, this was not something celebratory for them to hear that, hey, God has delivered the children of Israel from Egypt. That's not what they were looking for. But here, Jethro, the priest of Midian, he was rejoicing, as we find, over the deliverance of God for his people, for Moses, for his family, for the children of Israel. Jethro is rejoicing with them because of the blessings of God on them. And so we find here, as he's delivered Moses' family to them, and it tells us there in verse number 6, and he said unto Moses, I, thy father-in-law, Jethro, am come unto thee, and thy wife, and her two sons with her. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and did obeisance, and kissed him. And they asked each other their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And so he was rejoicing with them over the blessings of God upon him. And one of the things that stands out to me that's from our perspective, I guess, is somewhat fascinating. It's remarkable to me, in the fact that we consider that such, you know, a long time ago. That was prehistory. You know, that's kind of our attitude toward it. That's a long time ago. That's before anything was around. That's before they had telegraph, before they had telephone. There was definitely no internet. Windstream was nowhere in the Sinai Peninsula there. And yet they knew what had happened and what was going on. The news traveled, and it traveled fast enough that once they made it to Sinai, Jethro knew they were there. The Amalekites that we were looking at on Wednesday night, they heard that Moses and the children of Israel, and they came down from their land to fight them in the desert because they didn't want them coming up where they were at. And so you have in that vastness there of that traveling and the desert terrain that they were going over, there was still that communication that was being passed back and forth of what was taking place. And part of that we find in the scriptures, we understand that part of that was miraculous on the part of what God was doing. It was supernatural in how it was being transferred, because God wanted them to know. He wanted those Canaanites to know. He wanted the people of the land to know that He was God and He was going to be glorified in His deliverance of Israel. And so part of this is supernatural that we see. That this is one of the things that Rahab, of course, makes known to the spies when they come into Jericho, that she had heard about it. She knew everything that God had done for them, and that it was scaring their people to death. She said, I know He's God, and she wanted to glorify and honor Him. She's talking about the rest of Jericho. Jericho's scared to death. They know that He's going to continue to bless. He's going to continue to give you all these blessings, and because of that, we're going to be destroyed. And so part of this was supernatural in how this news spread. But we see there, nonetheless, without the internet, without their cell phones, even without the landlines, here they were the people knew that they had come into the land. They knew God's deliverance of the people of Israel and how he had preserved them through the wilderness crossing there and from Pharaoh and the miracles that were performed. They knew of that. One of the big ones was them crossing the Red Sea, that God had parted the waters for them to cross in. And so this was something that was noised abroad throughout that barren land as it was carried, that communication carried from place to place. And so Moses recounts to Jethro all this. Jethro had heard about it, but Moses is telling him firsthand, well, this is what happened. This is what God told me to do. This is what he did once he told me to do it. He told me to stretch out my arm. He divided the waters and we walked across. And then closed them back again after he told me to stretch out my arm once more. And he closed the waters back up on the Egyptians. That was after he'd sent those 10 plagues on them that we were delivered. And then all the gold they gave us to send us on our way, and the change of garments and all the blessings that they gave to send us on our journey. And now that we got down here to the promise, or to the area of Canaan there where God, or Canaan, I keep saying Canaan, Sinai, where God had sent us here to this mountain. We've had a battle with the Amalekites, and God gave us the victory there. He's provided water out of the rock for us. He's provided manna from heaven. And you can just see as Moses is explaining all of these things to Jethro and recounting to him God's provision in this, and how God has blessed and how God has carried his people through, and how God's faithfulness has shined out over and over and over again against everything that they've come in contact with. And Jethro is rejoicing here over the blessings of God for Moses and for the children of Israel. And it says there again in verse 9, Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods, for in the thing wherein they dealt proudly, he was above them. And so here, again, as we're told in the book of Numbers chapter 25, and then again in Numbers chapter 31, we're told of the idolatry of the Midianites. And here, Jethro is assured, no, there's none like God. There's none like him. So whether he was an idolater before or not, I don't know fully, but he's not at this point. if he was before, his eyes have been opened at this point, that he says, I know that there's none like him. He's above all these other gods that men worship and men revere and men uphold. And so Jethro was not your usual Midianite in this. He is glorifying the Lord here for the Lord's power, the Lord's strength, the Lord's grace toward Israel. And it says there in verse number 12, and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came, and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. And so they rejoiced, they worshiped together, they fellowshiped together around the wonders and the working of God for the children of Israel. And so he says in verse 13, it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people. And Moses stood by, and the people rather stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And one of the things Moses was trying to do as he was leading the people across the wilderness here, one of the things that's naturally going to occur, you get a bunch of people together, there's going to be people that's going to be offended of one another in some way. Somebody's going to do somebody wrong, somebody's going to say the wrong thing, somebody's going to make somebody mad, somebody's going to steal something from somebody, there's going to be things missing, all sorts of things happen, especially when you get a few million people together. And so Moses is the judge over the people. And so they're bringing to him their petitions, their particular cases that they have one against another, and they're bringing them to Moses for Moses to judge concerning these things. Now you can imagine how overwhelming that would be for one man to do all of this judgment. And Jethro sees this. He sees all of these people gathered around Moses. Well, y'all ain't going to get nowhere if you're going to do that. I mean, y'all going to be here for a long time if you're going to be doing all of this judging yourself. And so here Moses is doing this work of judging between the matters of the people here. And it says that they stood by Moses, it says there in verse 13, from the morning unto the evening. This is all day long, this is going on. And Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people. He said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people came unto me to inquire of God. They want to know God's judgment concerning these particular issues. And well, they're coming to me, and I'm going to try to give them an answer. I'm going to try to tell them what God says there. And it says, verse 16, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and His laws. Now, at this point, Moses is dealing from the natural laws that God has given. He doesn't have the written law of God given yet to them. And so he's judging on matters given the natural law that God had established. And he's reminding them of those things. And some of those things that God had already established, especially that where he just kind of established with them the Sabbath before he's given them the rest of the law. And so here, that's part of what God had revealed and given. So he's going over with them these issues that God has given concerning natural law and concerning these things of the Sabbath. And he is making these judgments for the people in these things. And it says there in verse number 17, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. You're taking too much on yourself, Moses. You can't do all of this by yourself. It says, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. And so he's giving Moses some advice. I've heard people argue back and forth whether it was good advice or bad advice. This is probably some good advice that he's giving him here. That Moses can't, he wouldn't, God didn't tell him to bear that burden himself. This was just something that naturally came about. Moses leading them, the people came to Moses, he's the leader, we're going to try to figure out these things. And so they were naturally coming to him. And this was something Moses hadn't, whether he hadn't thought of it or simply hadn't taken the time to take care of these things until now. Perhaps they were too busy running and providing that this is the first real rest that they come to in order to be able to even consider these things. But here, I believe Jethro's giving him some good advice here that you don't need to be doing this all yourself. And one of the reasons I think it's good advice is what he goes on to say in verse number 23 when he's describing this to Moses, what he thinks Moses should do. He says there in verse 18, he says, thou wilt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice, I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. This is what Moses will do, is God will give him the law. He's going to recount that law to the people and give them direction and teach them concerning that. Moreover, he says in verse number 21, moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. Let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. This, by the way, is what our founding fathers used to establish our judicial system. They followed this exactly. This is where they got the direction to establish our judicial system in the districts and then the different courts that are established in different places, the Court of Appeals all the way to the Supreme Court. In this case, Moses was the Supreme Court, if you will. The big cases would come to him. The smaller matters would be judged by the lower judges of the 50s, the hundreds, and the thousands, the tens, the 50s, the hundreds, and thousands as they were divided up. And so Jethro said, this is what you ought to do. This is how it ought to be done. And they shall bear the burden with thee, he says. And then verse 23 tells me that this was good advice that he is giving to Moses. As I've said, I've heard people argue that all Moses shouldn't listen to Jethro. Jethro caused all these problems. Well, no, I think this is the reason it's good advice, because Jethro says in verse number 23, you need to ask the Lord if this is not the case. You need to go to the Lord and see if what I'm telling you is right. He encourages him, go and see. Go and see if the Lord would approve of this. And he says, if thou wilt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So he said, I'm giving you good advice. I'm giving you good counsel here. And you just go to God and see if he don't say the same, if he don't agree with me. Now, he goes on to tell us here in this passage, verse 24, so Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens, and they judged the people at all seasons. The hard issues they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. Now, what we're told, Moses, as he's recording this, he says, that's what we did. We carried out this plan and established it. But what we're told is this didn't take place instantly. There was some time passed before Moses would implement this as he's recorded it for us here. Go over to Numbers chapter number 11. Numbers chapter number 11, and we read when this was accomplished here. Numbers 11 and verse number 10. Numbers 11 and verse number 10, down through verse number 25. We're going to read all of this particular reading here because he describes this doing here. This is after the law is given. After all that God had given unto Moses for the people, this is after it's all given and it's transferred to the people that they know these things and what the law requires of them and what God has demanded and how they serve them. So there's some time has passed. And it tells us here in chapter 11 and verse number 10, it says, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child into the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? What was it that Jethro said? You're going to wear yourself out. And what's Moses saying? I'm wore out. I'm wore down, Lord. I can't carry this any longer. Which should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. Verse 16 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, Lord said, I'm going to give you so much, you're going to be sick of it. And they will be. They'll be complaining about it later on. The manna and the quail from heaven. They'll be complaining about all that the Lord has given them. And Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Moses said, Lord, how are you going to feed all these people? How are you going to do that, Lord? There's a bunch of us here. You're going to have to get every animal around to feed them if you're going to give us all flesh. You said you're going to feed, but you're going to have to kill everything. And the Lord said, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. They prophesied and did not cease. And so here, this completion of this counsel, this help that was given Moses, that Jethro had given him to do, and given him advice to do, here it is carried out as Moses would choose out these 70 as God had told them to. That God would give them His Spirit to do this work, to help to judge the people. Now, it is this 70 that would become a great problem in the future. That is what would become known as the Sanhedrin. And it is the Sanhedrin that would cause all the trouble for the Jews in the Lord's day, and then in Paul's day as well, as they would seek to destroy the children of God from Israel. As they seek to destroy the Lord Himself, it would be this group of 70 that would be such a problem for the children of Israel in these future events. But at this point, these folks are here to help Moses, and God employs them with His Spirit that they might carry out this work and do this task of helping Moses to judge the people. All right. So they're here at Sinai, and God is orchestrating and directing and setting things aright as He prepares them to receive the law. Let's all stand, and we'll be dismissed.